Welcome to Revealing Jesus. Are you hungry to learn more about our beautiful Savior Jesus? I am your host, Christina Pereira, lover of Jesus, apostolic leader, licensed and ordained minister, author, podcaster, and kingdom party planner. Did you know that the Bible declares that grace and peace are multiplied to us in the knowledge of Jesus? And that simply means the more we learn about our beautiful Savior, the more we will experience all He died to give us. Join me for all things the King and His Kingdom, including revelatory teaching, interviews with fivefold ministers, media leaders, authors, and more. Come discover the beauty of God displayed all across the body of Christ. Together, we are revealing more of Jesus to a hurting world today. Specifically, we look at the New Testament where Jesus is portraying who God is. Jesus repeatedly says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah. And that is looking at him, looking at what he said, looking at the benefits that we have because of his death and resurrection, his finished work. That is what renews our mind. The Spirit takes us. The Bible says that, I think it's Ephesians 4:3, that the Spirit renews us and it renews our minds and our attitudes and all of that. And the Spirit reveals things to us. It takes us to reminders and to seeing truths about God in the New Testament through the words of Jesus and the New Testament writers. The Spirit takes us to those reminders so that when we get in that performance mode, that's what Paul was talking about there. A lot of people think that when he's saying don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, he's talking about sin and morality. But really what he's talking to was a religious system and a culture that was trying to appease God and different gods through various sacrifices and performance and rule keeping and commandment keeping. And he's saying none of that works.
Yeah.
What does work?
But before we get started, I want to give a quick shout out to our Christina Pereira Ministry sponsors who help support the mission to unite the body of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission with love. A big shout out to Gopher Ministries, who provides all of our equipment for our gospel events. Davis Financial Services, who does all of our financial accounting. Harvest Family Network, through which I am licensed and ordained, and Life Changing Productions, who helps put together evangelistic events to reach our city for Jesus. If you or your organization are interested in becoming a CPM sponsor, you can find out more information on our website at christinapereira.org. Do you have a loved one special occasion coming up and don't know what to get them? Well, now you can sponsor an episode of Revealing Jesus in their name. And you can give them a special dedication message read on air. It makes a great gift. To find out more information, just go to christinapereira.org/podcast. Hey, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Revealing Jesus with Christina Pereira. So I have with me here today a friend who's actually been on the podcast before, and he is a fellow Kingdom minister, New Covenant minister, and he's got a new book out called Permission to Be Imperfect. I have with me here today Kyle Winkler. Kyle, welcome back.
Thanks so much, Christina. It is so good to be back with you. Honored to join you again. And how fun to get to take this new step, this adventure with you here going live too. Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, I'm so thrilled and so grateful. You know, you guys, Kyle is so patient and so kind. I can tell he loves Jesus. His fruit is showing.
That's where it comes from, I tell you. It truly is the Spirit of the Lord working out of us for sure.
I know. I'm so thankful. And, you know, I think the most amazing thing about doing Revealing Jesus is I get to talk to people like you from all over the world. And there is this connection in the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And it feels like family. And you can recognize fellow believers. And isn't it amazing?
It is. Awesome? I say that so often. It's you can meet somebody for the first time and feel like you've known them for a lifetime. And I know that's that's kind of how it is meeting you as well, the last time and this time. I think it's been a couple years or so since we chatted last, but it wouldn't feel like it. And that is just, that's this connection that you were talking about, the spirit connection. And it unifies the body of Christ. It's a beautiful thing.
It is. And it's so beautiful. And, you know, I think that's one of my favorite things about the kingdom of God is the unity and the family aspect of it. And I feel like that is so vitally missing in our culture today. And people, especially my generation, you are my generation. We're older millennials, right? I was 82. You were what?
I call 85? My 84. I call myself 84. An old soul millennial.
I love
Not
that.
Not your typical millennial, old soul millennial.
Old soul millennial. That means we're old enough to remember the Oregon Trail, right?
Oh, boy, enough- that was a great one. Yes.
And young enough to be able Oregon to work trail. Our iPhone, right?
That's right. So the sweet balance, right? The we got the 80s and 90s music as well. So, you know.
Honestly, I feel like this is, I know, I'm going to make myself feel so old right now, but, and I think you actually said this in your book. I read it this morning. You called it the golden age of music.
Oh, I did. Yes, it was. Yes. I know my older brothers would debate that. They're like 12 years older than me or so. So that their golden age was a decade before, but I think the 90s, that was it for me.
I know. So good. So good. Although I have to say a lot of it, now that I go back and listen to it, I'm like, wow, that is so inappropriate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know. It is true. I could tell you stories back before I knew the Lord of the songs that I had memorized and things like that. Oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know. I put on this this summer's greatest hits playlist the other day from Amazon, and I had to skip like 50% of it because I was like, I can't play that with my 9-year-olds.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, some will pop up from time to time, or I'll hear them in stores or restaurants, and they do. They take me back to certain periods in childhood. It's amazing how music can do that, but sometimes I don't want it to take me back to those places too with some of those songs. But
I know.
Why we have this opportunity to renew our minds, right?
Right. Yes. Yes. And it's so beautiful. I actually really loved reading through your book, Permission to be Imperfect, How to Strive Less, Stress Less, Sin Less. Here it is. Oh, my Zoom filter. You can tell that's not my room, right?
The book is disappearing before our very eyes here.
Oh, it's coming in and out. It's available now, I swear. Anyway, permission to be imperfect. And, you know, Jesus has this idea that we should all look different and unique and be beautiful in our own ways, right?
Yes. I love that you say that because I think so many people, and it's been a core message of mine since I began, it's really my message is identity in Christ. Well, I think there are a lot of people, and I was one of them for many years, where we think we get saved and then suddenly we're all supposed to just look and think and dress and have all the opinions on all the same things. And that is cookie cutter Christianity, which is as naive as it is unbiblical. Yeah. God created us a certain way with personality, a certain style, certain features, and those don't go away. The way God created you doesn't go away the moment that you said yes to Jesus. No, now you get gifts added to the way that he created you, and you get a redeemed story too. So we are unique people that have a unique identity in Christ, I like to say. And inside of that is purpose and power and peace, if you'll embrace that, which is really what God's love, I think, this permission to be imperfect thing that I talk about is all about. It's allowing you to be the person that God made you and love.
I love that so much. You know, I felt like your book, I think really the message and the core and the heart of it was really at trying to dismantle the religious performance.
Oh, yeah.
Is the impression I got.
You got it. I'm glad that came across because that was really the heart of it. And I got to have some fun with it too, as I dismantled some of those things.
Right. I think one of the biggest things I think that you mentioned in there that really stood out to me, and I feel like this is going to hit home with a lot of people, is seeing God as a harsh, hard, punishing God. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, you know, 75% of people, and I'm not just pulling a stat from wherever, 75% of people, it's been studied somehow, believe that God is either angry, critical, or distant. I did. That was the bulk of at least probably the first 16 years of my life until I was born again at 16 years old. And then even after that, I kind of had this hybrid view of God that maybe he was love, but he was also this impossible to please taskmaster looking to get me back for my every mistake. And people come up with this idea, it passes the smell test, I often say, for people, because we do get this impression and we do have stories from the Old Testament. When you read 75% of your Bible almost, and it does, let's be honest, make God to look not all that favorable. There are stories of punishment and him smiting people and all that type of stuff. But what a lot of people don't realize is that's not the pure view of God. That was a view that was written by people, experienced by people that didn't have the full picture of things. They were seeing ultimately through a lens of sin, through a lens of sin having not yet been dealt with, and a people that were discovering on this path of discovering things with God. Well, today though, as it's described in the New Testament, we have the full picture of God. Bible says when the time was right, God sent Jesus. And it says that Jesus is the visible image of the invisible God. And John even said that here's what he looks like. When the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, he said he was God at creation, Jesus and God one. When he came to earth and dwelt among us, here's what he looked like. Full of grace and truth. That's unconditional love that you can depend upon. And he gives us, he says, grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. So he's not the angry, mad God that maybe somebody told you he was, or maybe that you read he was in the Old Testament. No, because of Jesus, he is full of grace. And that's what he gives. And that's how we get to experience him today.
Amen.
You don't have to earn anything from him. He's not asking you to do anything to please him. He just loves you through and through because you are his child.
Amen. Amen. I love that so much. You know, it's crazy how much that worldview can infiltrate our thinking about God, the world. And you actually mentioned this in your book, and I actually preached about this on Sunday. You know, the world has this idea, especially when it comes to like natural disasters and things, they call them acts of God. And I'm like, what are you talking about? God didn't do, you know, Jesus wouldn't do that.
It's just destroying his character.
Yeah.
In living here in Florida, I hear it every year starting, we're hearing it now actually, because there's a hurricane going out here in the 1st of July already. But for the next few months, I'll hear it. Oh, this is an act of God. Growing up in Missouri, we used to hear the snowstorms were acts of God. So yeah, it does put this culture. It's not even the church world, although the church world kind of adds to it. But culture itself will tell you that these horrible things that are happening in your life, that they are just that acts of God. So what do you think that does to people? It causes them not to want to have anything to do with him, because if he's going to be somebody that zaps us for anything, then why would I want to be in any kind of a relationship with him? It's just awful. It really destroys God's good character. Thankfully, though, we've got the New Testament. We've got Jesus to restore it and show us who he really is.
Amen. It reminds me, I can't remember. It was many, many years ago, but I put this out on Instagram, and I thought it was so good. I said, the last time I checked my Bible, Jesus calmed storms, not created them.
Yes. Oh, that's good. I love it. That's a revelation there.
Yeah.
That's a tweet. That's good.
I know. Yeah, I actually put it on Instagram.
Yeah, and he came to destroy the works of the devil, not afflict us with them.
Yes. Yes. So good. So good. So the Bible actually says that we are to not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. And so, Kyle, we renew our mind by reading the words of God, right? Specifically, we look at the New Testament where Jesus is portraying who God is. Jesus repeatedly says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
And that is looking at him, looking at what he said, looking at the benefits that we have because of his death and resurrection, his finished work. That is what renews our mind. The Spirit takes us. The Bible says that, I think it's Ephesians 4:3, that the Spirit renews us and it renews our minds and our attitudes and all of that. And the Spirit reveals things to us. It takes us to reminders and to seeing truths about God in the New Testament through the words of Jesus and the New Testament writers. The Spirit takes us to those reminders so that when we get in that performance mode, that's what Paul was talking about there. A lot of people think that when he's saying don't be conformed to the pattern of the world, he's talking about sin and morality. But really what he's talking about or talking to was a religious system and a culture that was trying to appease God and different gods through various sacrifices and performance and rule keeping and commandment keeping. And he's saying none of that works.
Yeah.
What does work is to be renewed in mind to what Jesus already did. He already forgave you. He already came to live inside of you. He cleansed you. He made you whole so that you're enough. Renew your mind to those truths. And then the other things, they just start to work themselves out naturally.
Mm-hmm. It's like once the sap of the new creation life starts flowing within you, it's like those dead leaves, they just drop off.
Yeah, and such a profound way to put it, which you're known for doing.
You're very sweet.
The sap, yes, love that.
Yeah, but it does.
All it takes.
It does. And so the other thing the Lord's highlighting to me right now is you actually pointed out in your book, the Holy Spirit, he comes to make known all the things that Christ has, right? And has now given to us, right? Mm-hmm. He comes to convict the world of sin. But you actually talked about it in your book, and I love that you did, because not that many people talk about this. What is the one sin that the Holy Spirit comes to convict the world of, Kyle?
Yeah, it's so many people read that and they think it says sins, plural, right, as if the Holy Spirit has come to deal with our in particular sins and over and over and over again to remind us of them and say shape up or else. And that's not what it's saying. First of all, it says the world, so it's not talking about believers in that instance. And this is Jesus, by the way, speaking. And he's calling the Holy Spirit an advocate, which is somebody that's on your side. And so he says the advocate's going to come and convict the world of its sin. You got to keep reading. It's not individual sins, it's one, and it's sin, Jesus said, is unbelief.
Yeah.
That's the world's sin, is its lack of dependency, belief on Jesus.
Yes.
And that's it. So what stands between us now, because Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, and as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:19, on the cross, God reconciled humans to himself, no longer counts our sins against us. Okay, so the sin issue is a done deal. It was a done deal at the cross.
Amen.
The issue now, the only thing that God is working with people on, convicting the world of, is getting them to believe in Jesus. That's it. Our salvation does not come down to sin management or sinlessness. It comes down to faith in Jesus, and that's it.
Amen. And you know, the amazing thing is the Bible says that the righteous will live by faith, and it's specifically faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us, right?
Oh, that's it. We've complicated it so much. And I know over the years in various places I've been and things that I've heard, it was almost like faith was this thing you kind of conjured up almost with willpower to get God to make all your dreams come true.
Right.
And that's not the saving faith at all. The saving faith is that Jesus did everything necessary to make you right with God, that you can't do it. With your performance, with your willpower, with your spiritual disciplines, I don't care what you're trying to do, how good they seem or are, none of that makes you right with God. Jesus made you right with God once and for all. And your faith in that, well, that's what saves you. That's the saving faith. That's what it's all about.
Amen. Amen. And as we behold Jesus, we are being transformed from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Isn't it amazing?
Yeah, so, it is our transformation. Yeah. Like, you know, the word there that Paul uses in the renewal of the mind, be transformed, he says, by the renewal of the mind, it's word metamorphosis. We think caterpillar to butterfly. The caterpillar does not go into that cocoon and grunt and lift a bunch of weights and do all kinds of stuff to try to grow itself. No, it's a natural thing when it gets in the right environment. And when we're in the right environment, just as you said, beholding Jesus, relying on his grace, allowing ourselves to be loved unconditionally, that does the work of growth in us from glory to glory, strength to strength. It's a beautiful thing. It's why we don't have to strive to do it. It just happens.
Amen. Amen. I love that so much. You know, I remember back when I was a much younger Christian. I've been saved since I was 7. So, and I am not going to tell you how old I am.
Well, you already told us you were born in 82, so we can do that.
Dang it.
Still very young.
For those of you who can't do math, I'm not telling you. But anyway, so I can remember back when I was a much younger Christian, I really didn't understand the new covenant and I didn't understand the grace of God. There was so much striving, and I know you talked about this in your book, and I know so many people are going to be able to relate to this. And it was interesting. You said something. You had this crazy schedule, right? I think was it Monday was spiritual enrichment? Tuesday,
spiritual growth seminar. Tuesday was advanced Bible study. Wednesday I was a youth leader. Thursday, small group leader. Friday was intercessory prayer. Saturday and Sunday, I was serving in a church, all while working in a church.
Yeah.
And that kind of schedule made me worse, not better.
Yeah.
I think I had the worst mood and attitude towards people in that season of my life than any other time. Yet I was in the church doing the things of God, I thought, more than any other time.
Right.
Thinking that was, I guess, going to twist God's arm into blessing me and fixing me and all of that stuff. And like I said, made me worse, not better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so interesting to me because we can do the do, right? Right. But not have the have, you know? Yeah. And so many times I feel like, you know, when we don't understand the new covenant of grace, when we don't understand the finished work and what Jesus has and what he's accomplished for us, that we're not fighting for these promises. The Lord said this to me, and it was so beautiful. You know, the Bible actually says that we are like treasures, gems to the Lord, beautiful stones, precious stones. And the Lord took me into this vision, and he showed me this vision of me as this huge yellow diamond. And I'm sitting there in this vision, and he's just rolling this diamond in between his hands. And as he does, I'm watching the light shine off of every facet of this diamond. And he said to me, you reflect the promises.
Oh, I love that.
When the light shines off of a precious stone, the refraction produces rainbows. Mm-hmm. And what are rainbows in the Bible? According to the Bible, we go back to the story of Noah. Rainbows often represent promises.
Yeah.
And you see, because of what Christ has done in us and for us, we now reflect the promises. And when the light hits us, we shine for Jesus.
Oh, that's beautiful. So what a vision, what a revelation there.
Oh yeah.
That'll preach.
Yeah. I mean, it will. I mean, it shifted the way I saw and did everything. And
yeah, it would shift the way you see people too. If we all saw people as those diamonds reflecting God's promises. I mean, we're all made in the image of God anyway. And then we believers are sanctified and made whole and made new and right and holy and all of that stuff. So we're reflecting being a child of God and reflecting righteousness and reflecting our inheritance.
I know. Isn't it good? He's so good.
That fires me up, really. That's good. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing to me because the Lord can use earthly things to teach us of heavenly things. Jesus, I think, was actually speaking to Nicodemus when he says, if I tell you of earthly things and you do not understand, how can I speak to you of heavenly things?
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus, often in his illustrations, he uses earthly things to communicate heavenly realities. And that's a very biblical principle.
Absolutely. So, I think that's so much what his parables were all about.
Yeah. So good. So let me ask you a question. If you could pick one thing out of the new covenant, one thing out of the finished work of Jesus that you really want to dismantle, like the lies of the enemy, what would you share to our listeners, both listening now and both who will listen in the future? What will help them dismantle some
so of many of the emails and messages that I get, people talking to me, I could boil them down to one thing, and it was really a question in my life too, well after I was saved. It's this idea or this question, am I okay? And of course, there are all kinds of evidences in our lives. It's unique to different people. I struggle with this. This was in my past. This is still an issue in my present. On and on. Symptom, struggle, sickness, you know, all those different things. Am I okay? And the enemy and religion gets people to think that it's their responsibility then to do all of these things, all of these disciplines, follow all of these rules. Even, as I said earlier, they can be good things, more prayer, more Bible study, more fasting, things like that, all to try to work off their rough edges, to try to cleanse themselves and fix themselves. Well, the new covenant tells us that Jesus is the one that made us right. He cleansed us through and through the moment that you said yes to Jesus. You weren't just covered. Sometimes we talk about being covered by the blood. No, no, you were cleansed by the blood. Like you got a spiritual DNA change even, that you went from sinner to saint, from old to new, from wrong to right, from a mess to a message, to that diamond that you talked about a few minutes ago, Christina, that reflects his promises.
Yes.
So that's what I want people to understand. That's really what I want them to understand through this book even, is that yes, in your flesh, because flesh, it's going to die and decay someday, okay? It never gets perfected. Your flesh doesn't. You're going to make mistakes. There are going to be flaws. There are going to be failures, past, present, future. But that's not what God is defining you by anymore. That's not what your eternity is determined by anymore. It's all determined by your belief in Jesus, who has made you right.
Amen.
Like I often say it, I said it in several of my books, but Christ writes you, despite your flesh, despite your attitudes and your actions, you are right. That's the gospel. And leaning into that and remembering that, it doesn't make you worse, it makes you better.
It does.
Peter, I think, said it, when you remember your cleansing, or he was talking about, you know, lust and lies and those things, but he was saying you're not growing in godliness because you've forgotten your cleansing. You've forgotten who you are. So remember who you are. Remember that God has made you right. And somehow that right believing is going to just naturally become right behaving and right living, not something you strive for, but something that just happens more automatically out of who you are. You start to do what comes naturally out of your new nature.
Amen. Amen. And I love that you said that so much, because the right, it's in the new covenant that the righteousness of God, not Kyle's righteousness, not my righteousness, is revealed from faith to faith. And the only righteousness, I love to say it like this, there's only one righteousness, and it's God's righteousness. And thanks be to God, because of Jesus, he gives us that gift of righteousness. It comes by faith. It's not by anything else, lest any man should boast.
I love that you said that. It brings up something I often teach about, which is this idea of putting on Christ. So much of when Paul is writing about dealing with fleshly things, even.
Yeah.
He will tell the people to put on Christ. And a lot of people think, well, is that some sort of routine or ritual that I've got to do? The word put on there, I go through it in the book, is the word enduo. It's what we get the word endowment from. That is a gift of grace. It's not ours, but it's given to us, and then it becomes ours that we get to use as ours and claim as ours. And that's what, just as you said, that's what God's righteousness given to us is. It is an endowment of gift of grace that is His, but now we get to claim as ours.
Yes.
So put on Christ. Remember who you are.
Yes. And that's where the freedom comes, right?
Yeah.
Because as long as we're into religious law keeping, let's be honest with you, we're into self-righteousness.
That's it.
And anytime you're into self-righteousness, you're not going to succeed. Why? Because none of us are righteous.
Yeah. It's going to take you to where law and rule keeping, commandment keeping was always designed to take you, which is condemnation. Yep. The Apostle Paul said, even death.
Yeah.
That's the old way. That's the old way that didn't work. So you trying to white knuckle your way through and follow all of these don't taste, don't touch, don't handle kind of rules. Apostle Paul talks about that in Colossians 2:20. It doesn't work. It doesn't work to produce godliness. All it's going to do is wear you down, bring you to the end of yourself, because that's where law always leads. It's meant to show your need for a savior. So Amen. If you want to burn out, if you want to be condemned and accused and all that, keep following self-righteousness, because that's where it's going to lead you, to point you to the need for a savior.
Yeah.
So get that revelation as quick as you can and get into grace and experience freedom and the empowerment that comes from there.
Yeah. Amen. 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 You know, I always tell people this, there's no self-help in the kingdom of God. There was no help for you. You know, so you know what God's solution was? To kill you off.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Because
he killed that old self.
Yes. He killed it off. And yet people are still trying to resurrect it and work on it.
It's right. And this thing we call progressive sanctification, as if I can do enough to try to, as I said earlier, wear off my rough edges and fix myself. No. Yeah. Paul says, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6:11, I think it is, that you are washed, you are justified, you are sanctified. How? Yeah. Not by doing more, not by working more, by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's your belief, and by the Spirit of our God, that's God doing the work after that. Whatever He's going to do, He's the one that does it, not you. You are His handiwork, not your own.
Amen. Amen. The Lord said it to me this way. All of that religious law keeping is tantamount to perfecting the dead.
I let that sink in for a little bit.
Yeah. That will preach.
Perfecting the dead. Yeah. The dead that's going to die and decay someday. It's like, like you're polishing brass on a sinking ship anyway.
Pretty
get
much.
Get beyond that ship and get into the new one, the new nature that's already clean and right, and live from there.
Amen. Amen. Isn't Jesus amazing? Isn't He awesome?
Yes.
I love it. I love it. Well, this has been so, so fun, my friend. Is there anything burning on your heart you'd like to say directly to our listeners today?
I just want to remind people, because I think a lot of people, maybe they know that they're saved, but they don't know they're loved. Mm-hmm. And that was so much of my story. The goal of Christianity is not sin management. It's not that you can overcome sin. It's that none of it means anything about you. And God loves you through and through, despite anything. It's that nothing can separate you from the love of God. Set your mind on that. Everything else just takes care of itself from there. It really does.
Amen. 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 Thank you for that. Yeah. Will you pray for our listeners today? The Holy Spirit is already on this conversation and He is here today. And so, Lord, just whatever you lay on Kyle's heart.
Yeah.
This is an interactive show.
Mm. Yes, Father, we thank You. We thank You for the finished work of Jesus, Lord. Mm-hmm. that has done everything that you required, Lord, and that we just now get to bask and enjoy its benefits, Lord, for those people who are being beat down by the world and the church world and the accuser, Father, making them feel like they can't possibly be loved, that they aren't enough, God. I pray that through our conversation today and through reminders from your word and your Holy Spirit, that they would just know who you are, how good you are, and how much you love them, that it's not conditional. It's not based on what they do, what they don't do, what they've done, what they haven't done, what they are even going to do or not do in the future, Lord. God, I just pray that it would sink in, that they would sink into these truths and put on Christ and remember who they are and whose they are. And may they leave from this podcast, leave from this live show, Lord, with just a radiance about them and a godly confidence that doesn't come from their efforts, but comes from what you've done in them, Father. May they lean only on that. Give up all the stress and the striving and the flesh fixing and lean onto the truth that Jesus has made them right. He's made them godly. Nothing they do can add to that. They are whole through and through. Lord, keep that on their minds and on their lips. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, my friend. That was awesome. You know, I so appreciate you being here with me today. Can you tell our friends where they can pick up a copy of your new book, Permission to be Imperfect?
Sure. Anywhere books are sold. I send signed copies, though, through my website, which is kylewinkler.org.
Thank you so much. Well, I'm so grateful for you being with me here today. Thank you.
And I am equally grateful. Always a profound, spirit-filled conversation with you, Christina. So it really has been a pleasure to be with you. Thank you.
Thank you. All right.
Beloved, let me introduce you to my King. He is altogether lovely. No matter which way you turn him, he is perfection personified. He is velvet and steel. He is meekness and majesty. He is glory and humility. He is kindness and strength. He is altogether lovely, and he is my King, and he can be yours as well. All day long, he holds his hand that you might take, that you might turn one step, one grasp, one yes, one breath away from the arms of your loving Savior. Beloved, if you hear him, do not harden your heart. The Bible declares that not one of us is guaranteed another moment upon this earth. So pray this prayer with me today and run into the arms of the one who loves you, who knows you best. Father, I ask you to forgive me for all of my sin, for all of the places that I have fallen short, God, of your glorious standard. I ask you now to send your Son into my heart, to be the forgiveness of my sin, to be my redemption, to be my righteousness, to be my holiness, to be my sanctification. I ask you to forgive me, to cleanse me, to fill me with your Spirit, your power, your glory, that I might bring glory to your name, Father. I thank you that I receive all of this by faith in the Son of God who loved me and who gave himself up for me. I thank you that I am now a child of God, fully forgiven, fully righteous, fully holy in your eyes. And I ask you to help me walk out this life in a way that pleases and honors you, Father. I thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. I thank you for your love, for your kindness, for your great joy in saving me. And I thank you, Father, and I thank you, Holy Spirit. And I pray all of these things in your beautiful Son's name. Amen. If you've just prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to congratulate you You are now a child of God, and all things are now yours. Keep listening to Revealing Jesus. Find a good Bible translation that makes sense to you, and keep hearing about our beautiful Savior Jesus. Please let us know. We want to continue to pray for you, and we want to send you a free PDF copy of our New Believer Workbook. Just go to christinapereira.org/welcome-home. Enter your email address, and we will be happy to send this free gift. And continue to pray for your journey. God bless. I sincerely hope and pray today's episode has blessed you. Now it's your turn to continue the conversation. We are all evangelists of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Like this episode, rate it, share it with a friend. If it's impacted your life, let them know that you want it to do the same in theirs. Help spread the word of the good news of Jesus. Subscribe to the mailing list and get episodes, articles, downloads, and more sent right to you. Link in show notes, or just text JESUS to 1-833-815-7778. Again, that's JESUS, 1-833-815-7778. We would love to connect with you on social media. You can find us at Christina Pereira Ministries on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Until next week, may grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of Jesus. God bless.